Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Fun, entertaining, knowledgeable.
All right.
All right. Yeah.
Right.
Live and local, it's time for the Fan Morning Show with Bart Winkler.
Good morning, everybody. I am Bart Winkler. Sam Schmidt's here today. Producer Todd is still here for those keeping score and wondering if that's still a thing. It is. Ryan Horvath will be on a little show called Bet Sweats today on the radio.com app. You can check the app for it. More details on that in a little bit. We'll talk to Ryan Wood this hour. We will talk some Bucks this hour. They lost. And I think we need to really, we got to straddle a line with what we do in the regular season. Like, we can criticize the team, which, you know, I'm all for, but also realize the lack of importance to a lot of what's happening. So we'll get into that a little bit later this hour as well. Nick Kostos next hour to preview some picks. Kevin Payne, big Bills fan. We're going to talk to our fantasy guy about what he thinks is going to happen. Maybe some daily fantasy stuff for you this weekend. Some over-unders for you. That'll be in about an hour and a half. Rob Reichel. So we've got a lot of people lined up to chat with, and it should be a good show. We'll hear from Mike Pettine. We'll hear from Aaron Rodgers. We'll hear from Tom Brady, if I feel like it. I've had Tom Brady and Bruce Arians sound bites to play for you, and every time I preview them, I don't want to hear from these guys. Maybe today, since it is a football Friday, and we're excited for it. So we'll get into all that. We'll start with the Ted Thompson news. I was pulling in the driveway coming home yesterday, and got a text. Somebody sent me Tom Silverstein's note about Ted passing away at the age of 68. This guy was the GM of the Packers not 3 years ago. You know, Brian Gutekunst took over in the winter of 2018, and taking over from Ted Thompson, who at the end was very subject to criticism. You know, there was a lot of moves that he made or moves that he didn't make that were upsetting, the lack of free agency. Because when he did dabble in free agency, Charles Woodson, Ryan Pickett, these guys, they made a huge impact. You know, even Julius Peppers, they made a big impact. So you wondered why he didn't do that more. But this guy, you've heard the tributes now. You've seen the Packers players tweet about it, especially the ones that were drafted by him. This guy was a scout scout. This guy was a scout at heart. He loved being a scout. He loved being on the road. You know, he loved being at the Senior Bowl. He loved being at the Combine. He loved to scout players. And there's going to be a lot of good people lined up today, especially on the big show today. They're going to check in with especially Andrew Brandt and just a bunch of other guys coming up later today on the Wendy's Big Show, which, by the way, is statewide 10 to 2. Bob Harlan will kick things off at 10. Andrew Brandt, 11:05. Kevin Harlan, 12:35. So that's all coming up a little bit later today. The Ted Thompson tributes will continue to roll in. But you won't hear a bad word about the guy. You might hear a bad word about, oh, we didn't like this pick or we didn't like this selection. But honestly, I've never heard a bad word. I've never heard a bad word about Ted Thompson. I've never heard anyone say that he was a jerk or mean or any of that. And I think, you know, we do kind of lose sight of that, the human aspect of a lot of this, especially when it's a guy that is in that position, making these huge moves all the time to affect our favorite team. And I think what's good with Ted was he cared about the team as much as we do as fans. I mean, he wanted the long-term success of this team. And the reason they're in the NFC Championship game this weekend, I mean, a lot of it, you can look at Ted Thompson and guys that he picked. 11 guys on the roster. Well, actually, with Tremont Williams, you can make it 12. And then David Bakhtiari's hurt, so you can make it 13. But 11 guys that are on the roster via his signing, I mean, these are big names. Aaron Rodgers, obviously. And that was, the drafting him was a decision. Big decision. 2005. He fell to him. Ted trusted the board. You got to go with the board. That's what Ted said. This is the best player on the board. We got to go with the board. Drafting him was a decision. Moving on to Rodgers from Favre was an even bigger one. It was Ted's first overall pick. They were at a point 3 years into Rodgers' career. He had to start playing at some point. And will we see things play out the same way with the current state? I'm not sure how it's going to play out. But with Rodgers, you knew he was going to be good. You saw him in the Cowboys game on a Thursday night where they lost. You didn't know how much you could take with the back and forth from Favre. So you were either going to have a long career with Aaron Rodgers or a couple more years with Favre. And Ted not only drafted Rodgers, but then he made the decision to move on, eventually traded Favre to the Jets, and was subject to a lot of backlash. And he made that move knowing what was going to happen. But he trusted in himself and the scouting, always coming back to the scouting. And it worked out. Mason Crosby's on this team. Mason Crosby, I didn't realize this till I heard a little bit from Andrew Brandt yesterday. And again, he'll be on the big show today. Former front office member of the Packers. Ted had to fight for Mason Crosby. There were a bunch of other scouts that wanted different kickers. But Ted trusted his scouting even when it came to a kicker. Mason Crosby's been here since 2007. A Ted Thompson guy. Davante Adams. Davante Adams drafting him in 2014 and then sticking with him. Corey Linsley, All-Pro 2014. A bunch of All-Pros. Davante, Linsley, Rodgers, Bakhtiari. And then in 2016, you had Dean Lowry, you had Kenny Clark, who was drafted very young out of UCLA. He's become a stud. Lucas Patrick. 2017, Ted's last season as a Packer GM, Kevin King, Jamal Williams, Aaron Jones. And, oh, by the way, there was a street free agent that he picked up, Robert Tonyan. So Robert Tonyan's under the Ted umbrella, too. Rodgers, Crosby, Davante, Linsley, Lowry, Kenny Clark, Kevin King, Jamal Williams, Aaron Jones, Lucas Patrick, Robert Tonyan. Let's throw Bakhtiari in there. He's injured. Tremont Williams, who's back at the hands of Goody. But a Ted Thompson find back in 07. I mean, this team that we're going to watch has a tremendous amount of impact from Ted Thompson. Ted Thompson, I mean, it's more than just this weekend, obviously. His legacy, what he meant, and we'll hear tributes, you know, throughout the show. But I do think that as we get ready on a football Friday, it's important to take note of, hey, this team that we see, yeah, Gutekunst has been here for 3 years, Matt LaFleur the coach, a lot of it, and a good part of it, the top part of it, the stars, a lot of that come from Ted Thompson. Big Ron is in New Jersey. Big Ron.
Hey, Bart, how are you doing?
Hey, happy belated.
Yes, Oh, thank you.
Sure.
My favorite Ted Thompson memory is I was at the 2010 Super Bowl, and I was sitting up in the nosebleeds, but after the game ended for the trophy presentation, I went down, you know, to the first row to watch the trophy presentation. And after, and when Ted started walking off the field from, you know, congratulating everyone and walking towards the locker room, I was right by the tunnel. And, you know, he's a very mild-mannered, reserved guy. And all the Packer fans that were gathered there just started shouting, Teddy, Teddy, Teddy. You know, and he gave acknowledged the crowd and kind of gave a little fist pump. And that was just a great moment. And, you know, you rattled off all those names of players he drafted. And I think I saw a tweet last night by somebody that, you know, the four members of the Packers this year that were named to All-Pro, first-team All-Pro, were all drafted by Ted Thompson. You know, and not only did he, you know, and he, you know, his, the major criticism with him is, you know, he didn't, you know, pursue free agents a lot, but, you know, two important free agents that he did pursue, Charles Woodson and Ryan Pickett, were very instrumental in that Super Bowl run. So fond memories of Ted Thompson. He'll be missed. You know, 68, it's too early to go.
Yeah, that's the other thing. I mean, he was just in the front office 3 years ago, and he still had, at last check, I don't know when this, but when he stepped down as GM, they still had him on as a senior advisor role. So he was still close with a lot of guys, I'm sure Brian Gutekunst for sure, in the organization, leaning on for support or whatever. And I know that, you know, we all speculated and wondered about his health even in his last few years as the Packer GM. And I don't know, but it was still shocking to realize the news yesterday. 68. When you're a kid, you think it's, you know, very old. 68's not that old. And so it's a huge loss.
Yeah, and you know, he didn't have a significant other, he didn't have a family, he didn't have kids. He just was 100% green and gold. He was all Packers all the time. That was his passion. And when you're fighting serious illnesses, like I'm sure he was, you know, I'm a big believer that the mind and the body are connected. The mind, the body, and the spirit are all intertwined. And I think, you know, him stepping down in a way, even though he was still involved as a consultant, you know, he was no longer running the show, and that passion was partially taken away from him. And I just wonder, you know, if that kind of contributed to his early demise. So, look, I'll let you go with that. Have a good show. Have a great weekend. Go Pack.
Ron, I need your pick, though.
Oh, well, okay, I'm hedging my emotions. Okay?
Oh, Ron.
You talked about your friend who bet $1,000 on Tampa Bay money line. Well, I pretty much have done the same thing because I want to buy the Packers a championship. And if I'm going to lose some big bucks doing that, then so be it. I'll be glad to lose the money to get the Packers. I think the Packers are going to pull it out, but I'm extremely nervous. I think the keys to the game are, you know, I heard some really good advanced stats that it's the pass rush of the Bucs and the Packers' revamped offensive line being able to stop that pass rush. Aaron Rodgers was number one in the NFL with a clean pocket. He had 130 passer rating. He had an 85% completion pass. Percentage. He had 40 touchdowns and 4 interceptions this year with a clean pocket. And the Bucs in that Week 6 game, they realized that. The Bucs are a top-5 team in pressure rate. They're a top-5 team in blitz rate. And in that Week 6 game, the Bucs blitzed 21 times. And in those 21 plays, Rodgers had a 7 QB rating. Not a 70 QB rating, a 7 QB rating. I mean, the 2 interceptions didn't help that QB rating, but you know, if we can contain that blitz, because they're going to come at us again, and if we can contain that blitz, the Packers will win the game.
I'm feeling good about it, too. We'll give our final predictions a little bit later. Big Ron, thank you for the note there, the memories, the call. You guys can chime in throughout the morning, 414-799-1250. A lot of good people to talk to as well regarding Ted, but regarding the matchup, too, we've got an NFC Championship game in 2 days. We'll check in with Ryan Wood, PackersNews.com, Green Bay Press Gazette. We'll do that coming up. The Buccaneers come to Lambeau for a trip to the Super Bowl on the line in 2 days. 2 days. That's it. We're about 55 hours away. Bart Winkler, Sam Schmitz here today on The Fan.
Do you want to know what's going on at 1265 Lombardi Avenue? What's next for the Pack? Let's check in with our green and gold insider, Ryan Wood of the Green Bay Press Gazette. Brought to you by Thomas Morola Law Offices. Divorce, child custody, and other family law needs. Go with experience. Go with Thomas Morola. Online at MorolaLaw.net or call 414-327-5800.
1250 AM, The Fan, Bart Winkler, Sam Schmitz is here. Trying to patch through things with producer Todd. Horvat is on a show called Bet Sweats today. You can catch that a little bit later on the radio.com app. Again, we've got our shows here at the station that are on the radio.com app. That's how you find us if you're streaming or podcast. But there's also radio.com specific daily shows. One of those kicks off close to when we wrap things up here. It's called Bet Sweats. You can just search for it. Horvat's been on there a couple of times. He'll be on there again today. Bet Sweats. Nick Costos, You Better You Bet, who joins us, and he'll join us in the next hour. He's on a radio.com podcast. That's why we talked to him. So a lot of good shows specific to the app in addition to what you get here with us. We'll start Ryan Wood, PackersNews.com, Green Bay Press Gazette. A lot on this game. The news coming through yesterday, a little bit after we got off the air, is that Ted Thompson passes away at the age of 68. And, you know, there was always reports or concerns about his health, but still, this guy was just the GM of this team 3 years ago. And you pass away. I mean, when you're a kid, you think 68 is like a million, but it's not. It's young. What are your thoughts before we get started on the game stuff about what Ted Thompson meant to this organization?
Let's just call it what it is. Ted Thompson is the reason why the Packers are in this game this week. 2005, Ted Thompson did something that he was ridiculed for in the fan base. He was just it was a bombshell decision. He drafted Aaron Rodgers when he had Brett Favre, and he aligned this franchise up for 15 years of almost unparalleled success. A Super Bowl, five conference championship games now with Aaron Rodgers, another with, in 2007 with Brett Favre still. That all came under that wheel was set in motion with Ted Thompson. And I understand that by the end, in some ways, rightly so, with Ted Thompson's patience and really reluctance to dabble into free agency, that there were some frustrations from the fan base. But those frustrations are extremely, extremely small potatoes to the very real fact that he's the reason why this team is on the doorstep of the Super Bowl yet again. Because of that one decision, as seismic as it was, it set up and it aligned everything for the 15 years to follow.
Talking with Ryan Wood, PackersNews.com, Green Bay Press Gazette. Aaron Rodgers is really like, man, I don't know if it was because of the love pick, but he is just in some sort of zen state. I think there was one soundbite yesterday where he basically said, attitude is gratitude, and live in the present because it's a gift, and the future is a mystery, and dance like nobody is watching. I mean, you want to talk about a guy that is coming into this with not the perceived pressure that you think a guy like him would have. That's where his head seems to be right now. Unless this is all just like, as my one friend suggested, a giant troll job where he's just having fun with us.
Yeah, that's always possible with Aaron Rodgers' personality. He's got that dry wit. But it seems genuine. I mean, he's been consistent with our interactions with him all season long. And the reality is that there's one of two ways that you know, he could have handled how the spring went. He could have been gloom and doom and sulked over it, and he's done the opposite. He's kind of embraced the unknown and the fact that nothing's guaranteed in the long term here, and he's kind of gone about enjoying what he's had. And I think that it helps. I mean, Aaron Rodgers knows what he has, and the way that he's kind of his whole public persona this year, it's very reminiscent to RELEX, you know, and that 2014 season they go 1-2 to start the year, and everyone's freaking out. But Aaron Rodgers knew what he had. He knew that that 2014 team was a good team, that it would be just fine, and he did not freak out. He, you know, obviously told everyone to relax, and, you know, he goes on and wins the MVP. That was a team in 14 that very much should have gone to the Super Bowl, had the offense, had the defense to do it. A special teams fiasco is really what kept them from you know, about five minutes on the doorstep from getting over that hump. I think it's very similar to this year. I think Aaron Rodgers knows that he's got a Super Bowl team. And so when you know that, when you're confident in that, I do think that it does take some of the pressure off. You got to go out there and perform, and there's pressure to do that, as Aaron Rodgers talked about yesterday. But I do think that it helps to know what you've got. And I think he knows.
There's been a complaint that I've had that they're lacking weapons outside of Devontae and Aaron Jones. Now, the running back room looks very good, and it's clear that the Packers, LaFleur said it earlier this week, they like the receivers. They say they know what they have in them. And, you know, Lazard and MVS, while they're not, you know, Julio Jones or whatever, they're Calvin Ridley. They're receivers that we've come to realize are what the Packers are looking for in this offense. I think where I've always been concerned is if you play a team like Tampa, and they've got the cornerbacks in the secondary to not neutralize Devontae, because I don't think you can. I think with Jalen Ramsey, we saw that Devontae's floor is about, you know, he's going to get 60 yards and a score, even if you have lockdown cornerbacks on him. The first Tampa Bay game, it was like 6 for 60. So somewhere in there, he'll at least get that. But then if you have linebackers that can take away the running backs, and Tampa does have those, then I think you need another guy to step up. Do the Packers have that guy that's going to step up this weekend, Tonyan or MVS or Lazard? Because if they're ever going to shut me up about, oh, you should have taken a weapon in the first round, this needs to be the game where that gets done.
I mean, you watched last week, right? Because last week was all about depth. I mean, that's what it was all about. Who had the biggest play of the game last week? Alan Lazard, 58-yard touchdown. After a drop, too, which – in some ways, you know, makes it more impressive because he was able to kind of get over that horrendous drop and come back and score the game sealing touchdown. EQ with the 27-yarder gets open down the field. MVS takes the bubble and on 3rd-and-3 and finds the sticks to continue a drive. Robert Tonyan had 60 yards. Last week was all about the depth. And it was all about the depth against, I mean, I think they answered a lot of questions last week. Is about the depth against the top scoring NFL defense in the Rams. You know, they've got to do it again, but if they don't do it this week, it's not because they can't. They've gotten over that hurdle. They have the depth that they can. Last year they didn't have that. They couldn't last year because they didn't have the depth. This has been an entirely different year. And again, I always go back to the same stat, but to me it defines the difference in depth. Last year, for the first time in a 16-game season, the Packers only had one 500-yard receiver, Devontae Adams at 997. No other did not have multiple 500-yard receivers. This year, they've got three. One of them is a tight end. Marquez Valdes-Scantling, you could argue, best deep threat in the game. Averaged the most yards per catch in the game, almost 21 yards per catch. First Packers receiver to average 20 yards per catch on 30 catches since Walter Stanley in 1986. And then Robert Tonyan goes out and ties Paul Coffin's tight end touchdown record for a single season in Packers history with 11 that was set in 1983. So they've got depth. The depth is there. It's just a matter of they need to obviously play well. It's not a question of whether they have depth.
Oh, and I'm sure that Rodgers is, you know, he's looking at the receivers he has this weekend, and he's like, Bart, first name basis, Bart, I've got Devontae Adams, first of all, who's the best in the game. I've got Alan Lazard. I like MVS. I've got EQ. I've got Robert Tonyan. Do you remember when I went to an NFC Championship game with Jeff Janis and Jared Aberderis as my top wide receivers? I feel just fine about who I've got. So I see what you're saying. I would agree with you on that point. We gave you a little bit more airtime this week. We were playing earlier. We wanted to revisit some of the stuff that we talked about back in October. And we wanted to see what were we feeling then? Because there's been some discussion, Ryan, about what do you learn from that Week 6 game? You talked about how they got to respond. They certainly did. You talked a lot about, why they didn't run the football and the game that got away from them. The defense had problems. They needed to not be as soft. They're not as soft as they were. One thing that I found interesting is we all were, like, commiserating that Tyler Irvin was hurt. Remember this? Tyler Irvin was hurt, and in the Tampa Bay game, they didn't do a lot of pre-snap motion, and we thought, well, maybe, gosh, is it really Tyler Irvin that's affected this offense so much? I got to think to beat Tampa Bay, you know, there's no Irvin, but there will be Tavon Austin, and these other guys can do jet sweeps and motion, and Devontae scored a touchdown with that last week. They can't be stagnant on offense pre-snap if they're going to beat Tampa.
No, but even still, I think a thing that we've learned from there is that the pre-snap motions are important. They're a real significant part of this offense. But the key to this offense is not the pre-snap motion. It was all the rage early in the season. The key to this offense is being patient and sticking with the run game. If they're able to do that, everything else builds off of that. From the action pass game. Just look at Alan Lazard's touchdown last week. Look at what they did leading up to that score. They finally get a home run, but the Packers are getting 3, 4, 5 yards per pop on the ground the entire game. Being patient, because the Rams play a ton of two-shell. They just drop both those safeties, and they dare you to run the football because they're not going to give up anything deep. Well, four quarters, they just do it. They just run the football. And eventually, those safeties cheat up because you've got to. I mean, you can't just keep giving up 3, 4, 5 yards every run. And once they do, they hit them deep with Alan Lazard. Everything with this offense, it's built off the run game, which is to say that's a huge matchup this week because the Bucs averaged 80 yards allowed on the ground per game this season, top rush defense in the NFL. By 10 yards. Nobody else was within 10 yards of what they did. So that's huge. And I know that you go back to week 6 and you remember that the pressure that Aaron Rodgers was under forced a couple interceptions. But the run game is a huge part of what this defensive front does. And the Packers really, they've got to have a presence and they got to be patient because it might not always be easy against this defense. They've got to be patient and stick with that run game.
Ryan Wood, PackersNews.com, Green Bay Press Gazette. Defensively, what do you think is their biggest challenge for the Packers? I think that Leonard Fournette has been playing very well, and now you've got him and Ronald Jones. I think it's going to be interesting where Brady tries to throw. This could be one of those weeks where Jair Alexander, like, if you don't know who he is, you're going to know who he is in a good way. I think he's going to have, you know, an interesting matchup with Mike Evans. I think Brady might try that matchup a time or two. And we'll see if we can't get a turnover on that side of the ball. What's their biggest challenge defensively?
Well, go back to week 6, and it was Gronk. You know, Kevin King did not play week 6, so Jair Alexander matched up against Mike Evans, which I don't know. Maybe that would have been the case anyway, but I think it would have been real interesting back then to see because ordinarily the big physical corner is the one that gets Mike Evans, not the 5'10 guy. Now it's no question. Jair Alexander's the second-team All-Pro. He's had a phenomenal coverage season. He's going to get Mike Evans. But part of that, he played very well against Mike Evans week 6. Mike Evans did not hurt this Packers defense. It was Gronk. They could not cover Gronk, and he went off. And I think a big part of where this defense has changed since then is that both the second level, the inside linebackers, and the safeties have gotten a lot better since week 6. Late in the season, Darnell Savage Jr. and Adrian Amos were on fire. I mean, they were all over the field making plays, playing much better than the first half. And I think that you've seen the maturation of Chris Barnes into a guy that, I mean, Matt LaFleur just raves about him. Anytime he's asked, he raves about Chris Barnes. And there's some real depth there with Christian Kirksey and Kamal Martin. And those are the guys that are going to be really tasked with covering Gronk in a way that they didn't in week six. I think that that's a big part. You know, obviously, they finished the championship week a year after they gave up 300 yards on the ground in the NFC Championship. So you're going to remember the run defense. I think the run defense is a lot better than it was a year ago. But to me, it's that tight end matchup. If you go back to week six, and that's where they've got to prevent themselves from getting burned down the middle of the field.
What's your score prediction? I haven't really asked you much this year, but I want it now.
Boy, you put me on the spot with a score. I'll tell you this. I've had this feeling for a few weeks now. This is not something that has popped up. It's been a few weeks since I've taken inventory of the seedings and how things are falling and really looked around the conference. For a few weeks now, I've looked around the conference. I haven't seen the team that's keeping this Packers team from the Super Bowl. I haven't seen it. I do think the Bucs are the toughest matchup that they could have. But I think that they're better than the Bucs. And I know that you go back to 38-10, but what about 38-3 Bucs against Saints in November, week nine? And then they come out and they take it to the Saints in the divisional. The regular season does not carry over. I know what happened last year in San Francisco. A fluky, and that's what that was. They were up 10-0. They throw a couple picks. It's 14-10. A fluky type of game does not carry over into the playoffs. The Packers are going to go to the Super Bowl. They're going to win this week. What's the score? Ugh.
Well, that's good enough. I'll take that. That's good enough. I liked hearing that.
They're going to the Super Bowl. They're going to win.
The reasons I would keep coming back to Tampa, it's all junk reasons. It's all like, well, Tom Brady's lucky. That doesn't mean anything. It's all, well, Tampa played three games on the road, and then they could have the first home Super Bowl, and that would be like a storyline. All my reasons are storyline reasons. I think the Packers are the better team.
So this is my fourth NFC Championship game that I've covered. 2014 is my first season on the beat. That NFC Championship game in Seattle, you're going back to that game. I remember thinking, going back to that game, they were just pummeled 36-16 in the opener this season. They're not going back to Seattle winning. Now, they should have won. They were the better team that day. I didn't expect that. They should have won, but they didn't. The 2016 game, after seeing what Aaron Rodgers had just done in Dallas that year, I thought that there was a very real chance that they were going to win that game, and then they obviously get the doors blown off of them very early. But it was kind of like, this is going to be a good game, but the way that they're playing, they've got a real chance. Last year, I think I had them losing by like two touchdowns in San Francisco. I think that we all kind of knew that it was very unlikely they were going to win last year. My point is, this is by far, of the four, the most confident I've been that they're going to win the game. And it all boils down to, they're the best team in the conference. They are the best team. And they've got to go out and do that. They were the best team in 2014. They didn't win. They have to go out and do that. But I think that they will. I think this will be the time.
I'm ready for it, man. Just a couple days away. Sunday, would appreciate you. Have fun. We'll talk to you on Monday one way or the other. Hopefully not for the last time in a while.
All right. Enjoy Championship Sunday.
Ryan Wood, Great Midwest Bank Hotline, is where he joins us. If you're applying for a home renovation loan and you're a bit anxious, breathe. Let Great Midwest Bank help you experience a state of tranquility. Get started at greatmidwestbank.com. Bart Winkler, Sam Schmitz is here. We'll talk some Bucks. Bucks Lakers, kind of like the Bucks Heat the other night. Not as close, no missed buzzer beater, but sort of the same kind of feeling. And there's some worry, some concern amongst a lot of you. So it is a football Friday, but big game last night. We'll talk about that coming up momentarily. It is a green and gold week. We've got you covered all day today. Tomorrow we've got you covered. Sunday we definitely have it going on for you. 11 to 2. I will be here along with Ryan Horvath with the pregame coverage. We're a little apprehensive to say yes to do it. Ryan Wood talked about that game last year. Horvath and I had a pregame show before the Niners game. We decided to stick around for the first half because he lives maybe 10 minutes away. I'm like 25 from the station. So I didn't – you try to time because I can't. Rami would tell you.
Oh, yeah. I was here for it last year with you guys.
I don't think we have any. I think it's just me and Horvat this time, unless you want some extra hours. I don't think I'm in charge of that, though.
No, I was saying I was here like when you guys were watching the NFC Championship game last year.
You didn't produce for us?
No, I produced like the Green and Gold postgame show last year itself.
So it was just me and Horvy?
Yeah, because Joe asked me last night, he's like, did you produce the Green and Gold postgame show for the NFC Championship last year? And I'm like, yeah. And then he asked me about it. I'm like, honestly, all I remember is watching the first couple minutes with Bart Ryan and whoever else is in the studio, because it was just like the most life-draining moment in the past like couple years I can remember.
Well, yeah, there was a drive right away. The Packers had a fourth down and they punted.
Well, yeah, that's what I told Joe. Is like, it's the worst when you just know the game's over in the first like 6-7 minutes.
So we're deciding we don't want to watch it again because our pregame goes up till 2, and the kickoff's at 2:05. So we're right up to kickoff. So by the time I get home, it'll be halfway through the first quarter. Now, what Rami Makhlouf would say is just tape it and start it when you get home. He is a monster like that because he would do that when he would do the fantasy football show and he'd drive home. Of course, we all know Rami's a Bears fan. But he would get home about 12:30 and start the game that started at noon. I can't live. I don't even like that we're on tape delay, like the 7 seconds that we're on tape delay, just from the stadium to your TV.
Yeah, I can never do that either. I tell myself, like, yeah, I'll just record the game and then watch it. And then next thing I know, just pick it up wherever it's live. Because if I turn on Twitter or, you know, I get notifications from whatever, you know, sports app I use, it just already ruins it.
Yeah, I'm gonna watch it in my car. I'm gonna watch it in my car on the way home. Put the phone on the dashboard. We all do it.
Yeah, Ryan and I did that when we are coming back from a Packer game one day. watching Red Zone on the dashboard.
Yeah. If it wasn't supposed to be, they wouldn't make it fit so easily.
Granted, it was all legal because I did take the phone away in certain, you know, pressure situations, but. You got to do what you got to do.
Sam Schmitz, producer Todd, Bart Winkler. We'll talk a little bit about the Bucs. Get back into a Football Friday coming up. Mike Clemens also has us covered throughout the morning. Here he is with the latest.
Now, a Green and Gold update. Brought to you by Concordia University, Wisconsin Veterans Services Department. Learn how to use your military benefits at cuw.edu/veterans. In Green Bay, here's Mike Clemens.
The Packers signed veteran defensive back Tremon Williams to the practice squad. Defensive coordinator Mike Pettine.
It's great, you know, to have him back. Just such a great, just a veteran, a calming veteran presence.
The Buccaneers say Antonio Brown will be a game-time decision. He suffered a knee injury Sunday against the Saints. Tom Brady says he's watched a lot of tape on Green Bay.
Got a great offense, one of the best in the league. Really talented defense, really well coached. So it's how it should be, you know. The two best teams in the conference should be getting together and seeing how it all goes down.
Packers tight end Mercedes Lewis, 36 years old, and was asked what it would mean to finally reach the Super Bowl.
Well, this is the pinnacle. You know, it means everything. Obviously, this is what you get in the game for. This is why I started playing ball at 8 years old. You want to win championships.
And GM Brian Gutekunst on the legacy of Ted Thompson, who passed away at the age of 68.
I think if you really look back at his record and what he was able to accomplish here, whether it was 8 straight playoff runs, I mean, the players that he brought here, not only from the draft, but then Charles Woodson and Julius Peppers and Ryan Pickett and some of the things that he did, that Super Bowl win that we had, that the injuries that we had that year and the guys that he picked up off the street, you know, it's remarkable.
Best Packers coverage on 1250 AM, The Fan.
Three on the shot clock. James with the long three and knocks it down. LeBron James with his 6th three-pointer.
You know, obviously, you know, they're the world champion. Best team in the league last year, but, you know, I don't think in my mind that, you know, thought about that coming into the game. You know, it's just another game. You know, you got to do the right thing, play hard, you know, make the right play, and you hope that at the end of the game you're going to have a chance to win the game. You know, it's not, I don't think at all about, you know, individual, you know, try to, you know, go out there and take it upon myself against them or whatever the case might be.
So the Bucks, they had a big test this week. At least that's what we said going into it. They failed. They lost to the Nets and they lost to the Lakers. Now you wonder, well, what does it mean? Talking Bucks basketball. This segment brought to you by Schneider. Now hiring drivers for more than 80 years. They've been getting it done. Go to SchneiderJobs.com or call 1-800-44-PRIDE. Bucks lost to the Nets. They lost to the Lakers last night, 113-106. LeBron was pretty good. He had 34 points, six threes. Giannis, stat-wise, 25, 12 boards, handful of assists. The criticism on Giannis is ramping up. The criticism on him is, I saw this tweet that's sticking with me. Chris Middleton has more than proven, Sam, that he's a good enough number two. Now Giannis has to prove that he's a good enough number one if this team's going to win a title.
Yeah, I mean, I think at the end of the day, it is fair because, look, I mean, I know Giannis is working on his three-point shot. I know he's trying to get better at all these certain things that, you know, everybody bashes him for about his game. But at the end of the day, it's the same old, you know, duck my head and run into the wall and see what happens. And it's working. But when you run into, you know, good teams like the Lakers and the Nets and you go against guys like LeBron and KD, you're kind of going to get – you got to bring something new to the table.
One problem is how the league officiates Giannis.
Oh, definitely. They were getting all the calls last night, the Lakers.
Nobody tries to defend Giannis. They just say, all right, I'm going to take the charge. Or right. I'm going to try to take the charge here. And nobody defends Giannis because the league pretty much is fine with if you block Giannis and he comes barreling in. Sometimes they give it to Giannis, but for a two-time MVP, you'd think that he might get it a little more. The guys on TNT afterwards... Charles Barkley didn't hold back.
Giannis has got to get better as a player, Ernie. I hate saying it because I think he's a great kid. You like him, but I hate criticizing guys, especially if I like him. He got a long way to go as a player.
And that sounds funny when you're talking about back-to-back MVP.
But your flaws don't show until you you don't play, and I don't want to call you don't. You're playing against two good teams, five bad teams. So your numbers average out to what they are. But they've gotten beat the exact same way in the playoffs 2 years in a row. Exactly the same way. We're talking about the Toronto Wall 2 years ago. They didn't get beat by the Toronto Wall last year. And you notice when they play games, their half-court offense is not good. I mean, it's just not good.
So I think the regular season is about addressing these problems and getting better. There was a tweet last night, Hardwood Paroxim, Matt, he's a great follow. He said, Milwaukee peaked too early the last 2 years. I just don't feel like this is a great team this year, which is too bad. Good win for the Lakers. And I read that at first. I responded. We had a brief back and forth. I just said, I might have to be done watching the regular season. I mean, it's a pendulum swing. One team does something one night. We crown them. They do something the next night, and we tear them apart. I'm guilty of that. I saw the Nets beat the Bucks. I said, oh, this team's going to be hard to stop. Probably going to the finals. And then the next night, Kyrie's back. They lose to the Cavs. And then I think, well, the Nets, you know, they're not going to. Based on one game, in a weird season where the travel's different, the testing is all over the map. Now they're enforcing where you can't hug guys at center court. This is a difficult year. There are problems with the Bucks. I'm not excusing that. There are problems with the Bucks that I think a lot of it stems from the coaching. I'm still not sure Mike Budenholzer is the right guy for this team. Okay? I just don't think that getting bent out about a regular season loss is a big deal.
Yeah, I mean, you only lose to the Lakers by, 7 points when KCP is shooting 7-for-10 from beyond the arc, and then you only lose to the Brooklyn Nets minus Kyrie with only 2 points. I mean, I think we're less than 20 games in with this new Bucks team. We got to tamper the expectations, at least for the regular season. Pump the brakes a little bit.
Well, I think the regular season is a dress rehearsal for the playoffs. Now, if there's things that continue to be a problem, you would like by the end of the regular season for them not to look like this. You would like them to look better, but I still think we're just so early. You know, a lot of people are panicking that Torrey Craig's not playing yet. We'll get there, guys. We'll get there on Torrey Craig. Oh, Ice Thanasis in. I don't know. See if you got something with him. He had a nice block and then ran down a layup at the other end. He's not garbage. He's an NBA player, whether you like it or not. So I don't know. I don't want to panic over every loss. It's too much. It's the regular season. Now, again, they do need to work on a lot of stuff, but I think they'll have the time to do it. I think we'll get there. And they are working on stuff a little bit. Marv Albert last night was just blown away that Giannis shot a three. Why would you shoot it? It's a regular season game. Who cares? God, they lost last night. Oh no. I wish they would have won, but they didn't. The Marv Albert, Chris Webber thing is not working, by the way, especially on remote.
Yeah.
Those guys step over each other a lot.
Yeah, I don't know what's worse, them or Kevin Harlan and Reggie Miller. Reggie Miller and them were just talking over each other like crazy last night.
Well, we have to be only saying nice things about Kevin Harlan. He's on the station today at 12:30.
Oh. I didn't say anything bad about Kevin Harlan. Like, in specific.
Yeah, I know. Let's, yeah. And Bob Harlan. He's on at 10. And why don't you call Olivia Harlan? See if she'll come on before then.
Nah.
We'll talk Nick Costos, You Better You Bet, Weekend Picks next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.